Welcome back to the programme. Now with us in studio, Noel Doerr, Gary Murphy, Alison Morris, Conor Brophy and Áine Fitzgerald. Now, there's a really interesting story happening in, of all places, Zimbabwe. The government there is selling off the country's public parks. Now, that's not selling the Phoenix Park or Stephen's Green or your local park. This is 13% of the land of Zimbabwe, which has all the wildlife and all those terribly important things in these days when we profess to be interested in wildlife and in nature and in all those things. There's a real concern about what will happen to the animals as well as the land. Now, we're joined by Fern Corrigan from BBC in Bristol. Fern is a BBC presenter and a zoologist. First of all, Fern, can you outline the story and what your worries are?
Hiya, yeah. So It's quite confusing. There doesn't really seem to be kind of that much of a plan, but from my understanding of it is they plan on selling the 5 million hectares of national parks, which is run by an organisation called ZimParks. So ZimParks is part of the government, is kind of like one of their kind of civil service types.
Right.
And so they're not selling the land per se, but they're selling the management of it. So they're getting rid of ZimParks, who manage it. So the problem there is that ZimParks have accumulated about $21.5 million in debt to the government. I personally couldn't find any reasons for that. So it could just be
corruption.
There's a lot of corruption, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, their current tourism minister is in... is being held for corruption charges. They've got over 200 active corruption charges against really high-standing members. So that is more than likely it. And so the government now, with the new president and stuff, they're just not going to be filtering money out to ZimParks for this mismanagement of it. But now the question is, what is going? Are they selling the management of it? Is there any kind of protections, any plans there for the wildlife that's there already? Or are they just selling the management? So let's say I was some wealthy person, I bought over that section of kind of like park or management, and then I can do with it what I want because I'm managing it.
Including,
so it's all very confusing.
China could, because China has bought such an amount of land already, in Zimbabwe, over Africa, actually.
But yeah, that's exactly right. And so the problem there, so Zimbabwe, because they're currently in an absolute financial crisis, so, you know, they have 175% inflation, 59% of people are food insecure. They have these huge levels of corruption. And so now what this, what they're doing is they're selling off their assets. This place is, it's so rich in terms of mineral wealth as well as wildlife. So this year alone, they have made, I think, it's about $27 billion worth of pledges of what they can do. So some of that is cattle ranches to UK companies. They're being leased for 25 years. Chinese, in April, there is big plans done with Chinese officials for stainless steel power plants, lithium mines. In April again, you know, Russian platinum mines have been planned. And in February, then a power plant over the Zambezi River. All of this coming in.
When you talk about 175% inflation, it's kind of unimaginable. It means we're going back to the people at the bottom are the ones that are going to be absolutely destitute again. I mean, it's not the first time. Why is it running at 175%?
I think they're really just trying to, it's a very kind of complex issue, and I'm in no means an economist, but I think the government are just trying to get any form of revenue and stuff back. I mean, now people can't afford fuel. They're having electricity outages all the time. Come 6 o'clock, they're using candles and stuff for lighting.
Yeah, tell me about that and the kids and homework and all that.
Well, it would just make it really difficult. And then when it comes to, you know, kind of running hospitals and things like that, you know, they're having kind of, they have it in South Africa as well. It's called load shedding. So like certain areas will just be cut off from electricity for X amount of time, you know, so the service isn't overrun. But it's quite strange because they seem to have a lot of kind of like coal mines and things. And, you know, they're now kind of, they've made some deals, I think it is, with South Africa, you know, for new coal plants and things. So it's all a bit, it's all like they have, basically they have everything there in order to make it work, but it's just not happening. And now, so they've got all of this kind of mineral wealth and things, but now obviously our concern here and with the whole Zim Parks then being sold is what about their living commodities, which are their wildlife? So, you know, combined with Botswana, Namibia and Zimbabwe, all of those three countries hold over 60% of all African elephants. And, you know, they've got massive, massive populations of them, but the way kind of Zimbabwe are working on it then in order to get profit from their animals, it's a really kind of complex system. But I mean, for example, you know, in the last few years they've sold almost 100 elephants to China, living elephants, wild elephants, to China and Dubai to be in kind of zoological parks and stuff there, do you know?
Yeah.
This includes babies. And there have been cases, obviously, you know, kind of once they leave, it's very, very hard to get accurate reports, but there have been cases then of, you know, elephants dying in transit or elephants being abused then when they get to their destination. And
It seems in some ways, as you describe it, such a backward step on our cumulative knowledge and development of our knowledge on how you handle game like that.
Yeah. So they're national parks, none of them have boundaries or anything. So they have their national park land, and then surrounding that there can be private land, but then also they have community owned land. So they have a project there called Campfire. And so this is Communal Areas Management Program for Indigenous Resources. And so these are people, you know, locals and stuff, they can take it into their own hands and how they're going to manage it and things. And so you think that a lot of it would be through kind of like wildlife tourism and stuff, because they have all of this on their doorstep. But one of the things then is there doesn't seem to be any kind of like management of the Campfire land. And so 89% of it, 89% of Campfire generated income is from trophy hunting.
So you
have people doing that, like they're going over and they're hunting these big elephants, and that's how they're kind of, so they're selling elephants, they're trophy hunting them. It's kind of,
I thought that had been stopped.
No, not at all.
Oh, I thought it had been.
Yeah, so you'd think that, but so because elephants are only on Appendix 2 in CITES, which is the Convention of International Trade of Endangered Species, Zimbabwe then, as well as other countries, then they're allowed to do, you know, they're allowed to sell them as exports, or they're allowed to have a certain number killed.
Now, you did your 6 weeks, was it, in South Africa for your zoology dissertation, and
yes,
helped out with collaring lions and leopards. I'd rather you than me are watching you from a distance. But yeah, tell us a bit about that, because is not the problem Zimbabwe's creeping into South Africa, and South Africa was very good to Zimbabwe during all those dreadful Mugabe years. And I presume, I thought they were going to take over the round, but go back to your zoology project.
it does tie in with, you know, because while you're there, you know, you see these animals in person, you get as up close and personal as, you know, physically possible, let's say, to an elephant or whatever, you know, a wild one, you have to respect them. But it's just an absolutely amazing experience. And I just don't think that these people, for example, in Zimbabwe, you know, the Minister for Tourism and stuff, they don't understand what they have there available to them, you know,
right,
for proper management. So then when I was there, I'd never done any work like this. I was studying animal behaviour. So this was in a small private reserve just outside of Johannesburg. And I was doing my own kind of like dissertation research, but other people were doing other projects. So we got to help each other out. And one of them was to find out then where the leopards, what their kind of habitat usage was. It's the same with lions. And so we had to tranquilize them, collar them, bait them, you know, for like camera traps and stuff as well. It was amazing work, like really, really hands on.
Right.
And it wasn't like, at one point I was never frightened. You're just kind of just rushing with adrenaline because you're dealing with these species and these animals that you only ever see on television. television.
Right.
So.
The point as well is that while all these geopolitical changes are happening and we're looking at the Middle East and we're looking at China's just quietly working away there, and it seems nobody notices.
That's exactly right as well, because so, for example, Nigeria, another African country, they almost 10% of their total debt, which is 70 billion euro, is owed to China. And so in order to pay that off then, they're selling a lot of their fishing rights and things. And so you have a lot of illegal Eastern fishing vessels and stuff like that, that just go in, they hoover up everything there. They trawl it, they absolutely destroy systems, they process it all on their ships, and then that's it. And there's very, very little left for the locals. So yeah, so they're providing infrastructure and like railways and roads and stuff like that, but then through that debt, then they get what they want, as well as kind of, you know, now I think it's only been recently announced that Nigeria have pledged oil fields as collateral to their loans to China. And then obviously Sierra Leone is being really affected by it. Like they are buying a lot. Wasn't there like a few years ago, there was chat of Quilcha selling off land.
There was talk, yeah. Just very quickly before you go, and I know it's a very profound subject, and to go at it quickly seems a bit insensitive, but you, I understand, believe it's important to talk about these things. You took a case against a woman for harassing you and stalking you online?
I did, yes.
What were the circumstances?
It was horrible. The person had been in a relationship with my father, and I'm not too sure kind of that, you know, the root of it and things, because it had nothing to do with me. I don't even live in the country, but they then kind of took to abusing me online, making threats, sending emails, emailing my employers, that kind of stuff. And so this started in 2015 when the BBC press office was emailed, saying about, you know, there was accusations of there being narcotics usage and stuff in my family, and why am I working with children? So it started with that, and then after that then it got kind of more personal. So it was emails, it was anything on Twitter, that kind of thing. And it took a while before I went to, because I went to the police here about it in the UK, and because that person is based over in Dublin, I had to go home for it.
Okay, and, I say, it is a very short time to touch on something like that, but it takes a guts, I suppose, to take the case against them, and a lot of people are suffering from harassment online at the moment. Listen, thank you very, very much indeed for talking to us.